Today's episode is brought to you by Positively Productive Systems, whose mission is to be the antidote to your stress and to provide compassionate productivity resources and coaching that help you heal and achieve. Be sure to check out both free and paid resources at positivelyproductive.com/resources. I think it's one of the things that entrepreneurs struggle the most with is that when you have obvious appointments, I have a doctor's appointment, I have a client appointment, you know, those things are locked in and they're harder to change. What we need to zero in on are the ones that feel easier to change. And I want to come at it from two ways. One is figuring out what's happening as to why you're changing them. And the other is how you are intentionally setting these dates in the first place and agreeing to them to make sure that you're prioritizing and creating deadlines that actually fit what it is that you need to do and want to do. You're listening to the Positively Living Podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Zarotny, founder of Positively Productive Systems, and a coach certified in time and stress management, helping clients make space for what matters most in their lives. Join me each episode and we'll talk about decluttering, stress management, habits, personalized productivity, gratitude, and so much more. I understand the overwhelm of life because I'm a wife, mom to kids and cats, and a former caregiver. I'm here to help you choose what's right for you so you can do less, live more, and breathe easier. Sound good? Let's get to it. Welcome to the Positively Living Podcast. I'm your host, Lisa, and much like a parent doesn't play favorites, I consider every episode special. And to me, they truly are. However, this one is special in that it's a bit different from others you've heard before. I've done strategy call episodes where you can hear me coaching clients in a speed round kind of style. But this one is a longer session and is one of two. In next week's episode, you'll get to hear an update with a where are they now kind of vibe, along with some follow-up coaching, much like I do with my clients who book packages that include accountability. Lauren Yee, whom you heard on episode 74, sharing her perspective on living a multi-passionate life, joins me for a coaching session to work through how she can finally get time blocking to work for her. As a questioner, she needs to create a structure that makes sense to her and not just do it on principle, and to do something fun and vibrant like she is. She brought the idea of making a schedule with school themes, and by the end of the session, we figured out how to make that work so that her time blocking feels real and inspires her to honor what she's scheduled. We discuss boundaries and buffers, transitions and task loops, and recess, of course. I think you'll appreciate how she's using an existing framework and adjusting it to fit her. Be sure to stay tuned for the next episode where Lauren tells us what she tried, how it worked, and whether or not she's heading on to the next grade. If you'd like to learn more about Lauren, check out her prior episode and head to cultivatorofcuriosity.com. I'll have that and her social media links in the show notes. A quick note about today's episode. This is a real-time example of the initial strategy session you'll receive when you choose the Positively Productive Coaching Package. Coaching starts with the strategy kickoff and includes repeat accountability, twice monthly or weekly, and Voxer coaching between sessions. If you'd like to know more, head to positivelyproductive.com/hub for details on my coaching packages. Welcome, Lauren Yee, to the Positively Living Podcast, or should I say welcome back, but in a different way today, because we're getting into some coaching for you. But before we do, I'd love it if you'd share a bit about what you're doing and what's challenging you right now.
Thank you for having me back. I'm very excited for this conversation. Reminder, I'm Lauren Yee. I am a cultivator of curiosity, and a lot of what I do in the world outside of me is I help people adult like a kid. And that means like play and curiosity and connection and going back to all the things we've forgotten. As we talked about on the other episode that I was on, you and I are both multi-passionate, multifaceted, multi-people. So I help a lot of people do a lot of things. And I do a lot of things myself, or do that in a lot of ways. I have multiple professional things happening often, which is not necessarily a detriment to me. But my challenge is, because it's not like one entrepreneur business or one like the 9-to-5, and I have many interests and curiosities that I follow, because multiple things are kind of happening and evolving at the same time, sometimes I have a hard time prioritizing because there's like urgent and important in different ways, and like what I need individually versus what a company that I have with other people needs versus I'm also contracting with someone. And then there's like the fun professional and personal things for balance as well. So I am trying to, you know, do the hard thing of do what you say sort of a thing. And like, okay, like maybe I need to adult more like a kid. And I feel like I do that often in the sense of play, curiosity, finding joy, connecting with people. However, I'm like the kid that has no rules right now. And so I feel like I'm like, maybe I need a little more structure. And so what I had mentioned to you was, in trying to brainstorm how to do this, I was like, well, kids like have school and there's like some structure within that, but then they're like done with it and like can have fun. And there's like recess and other things. So I've been trying to figure out if there's a way for me to reframe my workday weekdays with a little more structure, maybe using like some level of school as like a framework. But that's what I do and where I'm at and what I'm hoping to unpack with you today.
I love it. I love so much of this for a number of reasons. One of the things I want to bring up right away, thank you for doing a couple of assessments for me so we could kind of see where you're coming from. And in terms of the big five assessments, there's definitely a high level of extroversion. And I talk about the sliding scale of extrovert on this particular assessment a lot, because I love the fact that it's not the, you know, it's not the black or white. It's kind of a, you know, percentage. It's a sliding scale. There's some other elements to it. Your openness, your agreeableness. Of course, those are off the charts. That's not surprising at all. And so those may come into play, but I think the biggest one that really applies here is actually the four tendencies assessment that I asked you to do. And drumroll, please, you were a questioner.
Ta-da!
Shocker. Just give me a moment. Yeah. Given that, I had actually Venice Lau on the podcast, and she is a fellow questioner, so that's going to be a great episode to reference as well. And the real key there is, and the phrase that Gretchen Rubin uses is, I'll comply if you convince me why. Right?
Interesting, yes.
Yes. And so given that, what kind of cracks me up about this idea of school, well, first of all, it fits you so much with the whole adulting like a kid and, you know, being curious and having fun and play, right? When it comes to the four tendencies, there's the obligers, okay? And they're actually sort of on the opposite side of the graph from us, who need the external, it's not just accountability, but the external structure to meet expectations. And so school actually works for them. In this framework, if you will, you are using something or wanting to create something that makes sense to you. And that is so smart, because as a questioner, it has to make sense to you. You can't do something on principle. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but if someone's like, okay, here's a rule or this is how we do it, what's one of the first questions you ask?
Why?
Thank you. Thank you.
I mean, if it's something that I like understand or believe in, like, okay, I'm already on, like, the logic I want to understand, which is not always like, give me all your reasons, but it's just like, give me enough reasoning and like something to stand on. Like, not just, we're all jumping off a cliff. And you're like, no, why? Like, what? Oh, there's a big cushy thing at the bottom and it's going to be fun. Okay. So yeah, within reason understanding.
And that makes total sense. So you can, as a questioner, you can tip to rebel, which is like, you can't make me, I can't make me kind of struggle. Or you could tip to upholder, which is, listen, that this, you know, if you're saying something and it's logical to me or it's within constructs that I believe in, I can show up, I can get it done, no problem. So those are like the nuances within. But again, the key is you need to understand it and it needs to lock in with you. One of the things that you said to me when you were saying, okay, kind of need structure, I think. Here's what doesn't work for me. And you talked about the digital calendar. Do you remember how you described it to me? Like what the frustration was?
School structure has like time blocks, right? And I've worked in person and remotely in many ways. So I'm familiar with digital calendars and like I keep schedules there. But when people recommend digital calendar blocking for me. I've put things there, but I have a really hard time sticking to it because sometimes it's just like, well, I mean, again, with the many things that I'm doing, I'm like, okay, well, I do need time to work on that. So I'll block it in a future date. But then when it gets there, it's just too easy to be like, no, but I'm working on this other thing, or I could just move it, or like, I'll start that after I finish this thing. And I just put it there, which is fine. But like, yeah, but past me didn't know that current me was going to be doing this thing.
Okay, that is another important aspect to when we procrastinate and how we deal with time management, which is really, right, energy management, self-management, prioritization, is understanding your future self and your past self and trying to support them. But what you described, it's very similar to one of the things that you said to me, which was essentially like that digital time blocking, that little space there doesn't feel real.
Yeah. I mean, just because it's this floating placeholder that like is not specifically meaningful. I mean, like I chose it. I was like, well, there's an open spot, so I'm going to put it there.
Aha. Okay. And so you've just hit upon another important thing here. So let's go through. We want to look at your concept of time blocking and how to structure that. We want to lock it in a way that feels real to you. And you talked about prioritization. And if you are struggling with how something is prioritized, this is sort of the double-edged sword of being a questioner and being curious, is that I'm a fan. I happen to be one. I love asking why. But then at some point you have to be like, okay, I've locked into this. And I feel like what you're describing is you haven't locked in. For some reason, I'm thinking about your camera and how there's the portrait or landscape orientation lock, like on an image. Mm-hmm. And so you've got the options, right? And you can be vacillating back and forth. But when you turn on the lock, it's going to hold it there for you. So no matter how you're turning, you're like, nope, that's in place. And I feel like these digital time blocks have been not locked in place.
Yeah. In the sense of your camera metaphor, it is very like auto rotate, because I do want to do well for myself and mm-hmm. also the other people that I'm accountable to. However, because it's not like I have my main job and a side, it's like I have multiple things happening that it is kind of like auto rotate. It's like, oh, well, this is due tomorrow, so like I'm going to do that thing versus, but I blocked off this time. It doesn't always work out that way. So it mm-hmm. is a very like auto rotate on like, how is it going today? Or what has popped up, which is fair, but also I don't want to be always operating on like a deadline urgent response. Sometimes that happens and that's fair, but I would like to have more control over my time.
Yes, the whole urgent versus important. And one of the things, I think I said it on the podcast, but is it really the question of, well, who's urgent is it? So that is going to be an important question that you want to ask going forward, is who's urgent is it? So I think the challenges here would be to decide why you chose a time block as you did. So let's get very clear on why you're choosing and when. And I think when you do, when it makes sense to you, you know that you need to do this, you'll be less inclined to keep asking why or to keep second guessing. And I think that goes with the prioritization. Now, I know that we have the school metaphor at play and we're kind of playing mm-hmm. with this idea, which I actually like because that does work with your tendencies and I think it's fun. So let's go there. But I think another aspect to what we're working on today is how you're choosing what to do.
I am a pretty generally organized person. I like structure, like not rigid structure, but I like having structure. I think it helps me be more aware of where I can be flexible or like how to work around versus just everything being worked around everything else. So I do like having some structure because then I know how to play with it. And I think that how I've been functioning is like, I do, you know, like task lists are things that have to happen, especially when you are accountable to other people. Like, and I have a lot of those things, but because of that, it becomes a priority urgent list versus what I need to or would like to be focusing on, because it is a like, oh, well, this is due sooner, so I'm going to focus on this first, which is also valid in the grand scheme of things. But I feel like I lean towards due date time priority currently. That's also just because, again, there are multiple lanes of things that I'm working on. I started to get more general categories versus tasks, like specific, I have to write this piece for this thing, like not that specific, but I was trying to get into almost like subject, like school subjects, because then it's like, okay, I can be in like, this is the type of brain that I'm using right now, which could be for any of those four categories, like four lanes of like contract, company, individual, right, whatever. But it's like this type of work rather than whose work. And I think that when it kind of dawned on me of like, what if I did it this way? That felt more exciting to me. I was like, it felt like, oh, that's a different way of looking at this that I hadn't before, that felt like maybe it'd be more organized in my like fluid, multi-passionate tendencies.
It's like stumbling upon the concept of batch processing in your way.
Yes.
And so to your point, being able to put yourself in that headspace, like you said, of now we're doing writing, now we're doing administrative, now we're researching, reading, learning, that is batch processing. So I would say that makes sense. You have sort of, and I know you wrote this down as like courses and themes, right? That's great. Those are the overarching categories of the work that needs to be done. Now within those, you will have, let's say it's paperwork and billing, okay? You're going to have bills that are due, you know what I mean? You're going to have natural due dates within. But let's talk about stuff more along the lines of things that you're creating, whether it's writing or research or something that relates more to where you have those due dates, where it's maybe not necessarily you picking the due date. I'd love to know more about who's picking the due dates, the ones that are a little bit more of that gray area.
Okay. So there's real due date where it's just like, there's a client meeting or something, right? Like that's like a very real due date. But then there's also the gray area of like the self-imposed due dates with colleagues. If you're working on something or like, when do we want to get this piece of this bigger part done by to check on or a draft of something? Yeah. So there's like the gray area things that are like not as hard, real deadlines, but self-imposed. So like they're real, but I agreed to them. Or, you know, when people are trying, like there's four people trying to figure out when we can meet and you're trying to match up schedules. So like you're a little bit beholden to people, but you could also choose to be like, I'm actually not available, even though my calendar says I'm available. But because I'm an organizer person and familiar with doing those things, sometimes I will also lean to like, okay, here are all of my open times because I know it's hard to coordinate four different people's schedules. So that was a general answer version.
That makes so much sense. And I think it's one of the things that entrepreneurs struggle the most with is that when you have obvious appointments, I have a doctor's appointment, I have a client appointment, you know, those things are locked in and they're harder to change. What we need to zero in on are the ones that feel easier to change. And I want to come at it from two ways. One is figuring out what's happening as to why you're changing them. And the other is how you are intentionally setting these dates in the first place and agreeing to them to make sure that you're prioritizing and creating deadlines that actually fit what it is that you need to do and want to do. That's where you want to be thinking in terms of the choices that you're making. So I am curious. Now, there's different kinds of ways that you can have a meeting when you have people, like you said, in different locations and different time zones and stuff like that. I cannot remember the name of it. I feel like one of them might be called Doodle. And it's so there's different ways, right?
That like you can polling thing.
Exactly. You can poll for times. But I think the real key here will be making sure that even times that are offered for polling, or that when you're looking at a poll that's given to you, like when are you available? Making sure that you're giving yourself enough leeway and you're protecting those boundaries enough.
Oh, I saw that a feels change very in real. You'd like the shrinking, like, don't look at me.
You're like, what? No.
Boundaries. That's a great point. And I think that is something that I even minimally have like made strides in, because I joked, but it's kind of real. Like I don't do nothing well. Like I like to do things. Even when it's just like relaxing time or whatever, like someone's like, yeah, just go chill on a beach. I was like, well, I want to like read, or can I like do a crossword puzzle? Or like, I want to do even a minimal something in the nothing. And so with like calendars and things, I don't always provide enough space. Like I want to do a lot of things and I'm getting better at being aware of buffer times or like, okay, that thing that you're going to do, you think it'll take this long. You should probably give yourself a little extra time because it's definitely, you're not as fast as you think. And so that makes a lot of sense. But that's also part of this, like why I think that I don't have clear boundaries because there's so many moving parts that it is just like, here are the gaps. And so the boundaries are just a weekday between these hours.
Exactly. And you know, that makes sense because we live in a society where we're like, oh, we want variety. And then we're like, was that like 73 types of cereal on those shelves? Like it gets overwhelming and decision fatigue is a real thing. And so you can be creating your own decision fatigue in terms of what you're meant to be doing during this time block. And then when you are fatigued, it's not always about discipline per se, but when you're fatigued, discipline is like, bye, I got something else to do. I got a thing. Oops, oh, look at the time. And discipline is out the door. And then you're like, I just want to do something fun. Or, oh, someone just asked me to do this. Okay, I'm saying yes. So linking this back to the idea of courses and themes and creating that, if that gives you variety built in, but it also, it's kind of like theme days. And I love suggesting theme days and this same idea here, where you can then say, okay, it's not just, this is what I'm going to be doing on that day. Like I'm in reading class now, or I'm in writing, or I'm researching, or whatever class it is that you're in. It's not just that. It's when someone says, I want to meet in 2 weeks, you have a better sense of when to schedule.
Right. Like options of like, well, what are we talking about? And where's the focus?
Right. Where does that fit? Mm-hmm. It's too easy to self-sabotage when you're like, well, I don't know, pick a day in the next 2 weeks, as opposed to saying, well, Wednesdays are the day that I meet with people and I research and, you know, et cetera. So what do you got for Wednesdays? Now, here's the thing. It's setting the rules and you can break them. If you are meeting with someone and working with someone and you really want to meet with them and they're like, oh, I can't possibly do Wednesdays and we need to meet 2 weeks from now. And then you'll be like, all right, I can make Tuesday work. But then you feel the difference between like, oh, just take any time versus, okay, I'm intentionally choosing this because it matters to me.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Because it is the intention of saying, choosing and saying yes and being able to do that versus just like, oh, here's all of the options.
Right. And then if then they're going to pick one of the notes that I made here for you with buffer and boundaries and things, boundaries, especially because you are working with other people many times and you're working with yourself too. But when you're setting these things to negotiate more, and the only way that you can negotiate properly for yourself is to be very clear on when you want to do certain things. But at the same time, you want to get in there and say, okay, you are looking to meet in 2 weeks. That actually feels kind of tight for me. Can it be three? Like you love to ask why. I want to encourage you to use that same curiosity and questioning. Lean into that to give yourself as much space as possible. It's the asking for more, because you would be surprised how many times people will say, yeah, okay, I could do that. Or you say, could it be 5 weeks from now? And then they say four and you still got two more weeks than you would have had.
That is fair. I think that I have often, I don't think that I'm specifically like people pleasery, but I do like, I like helping and progress. And so when people do often present me with the opportunity or meeting or when can we get this done? In practicing, I'm not 100% better, but I've gotten better at being aware of like, okay, here's my schedule and here are all the other things that are due. So like, I can't do it. This week is not good. Like getting better about that. However, I think that I'm still going like, okay, well, here's the next available thing right after all of the chaos versus giving myself extra buffer time in the sense of like, not just within a days of meetings or whatever, but in the sense of between deadlines and focus points. So that is an interesting point you make, Lisa.
That's what I do. So when you have your, what I'm calling your batching kind of categories, if you will, which will be your courses or your themes, okay, you're going to have those and you're going to have the things that you need to do within. So it's kind of like, I'm envisioning like a column, but it can be whatever you want. And when you were mentioning before about liking lists and charts and things like that, and so liking the structure, I thought it was interesting because the other word that comes up for me for you would be data. And that would make sense as a questioner.
Yes.
Now, going back to this idea of saying, okay, I don't think I'm like a massive people pleaser, but when we look at the big five there, you're high in agreeableness. You're very agreeable, Lauren. And I love that for you. And I love that about you, but your schedule's not always going to love that. So
that's real.
Yeah. So that's why we go for ask more, keep negotiating. Okay. The other thing in terms of buffering is this idea of a task loop, if you will. You want to be very clear. Say you're doing research on a project for a client. What that full task entails, or what that piece of the project that you'd be working on entails fully. So what I mean by that is equipment that you'll need, resources that you need to pull up, time to sort through it, time to, okay, here's a fun one. And I say this with all the love because all of us, everyone listening right now in this moment, and me raising my hand, love to take lots of copious notes. When do you actually review those notes?
Varies, depends.
It depends, yes. So the idea being that whatever it is that you're doing, piece of a project, a task, you know, something that you're working on in that time block needs to have the full list. Okay, I'll use a home-based task loop as an example. I use laundry as an example because it's one of my weaknesses. A true task loop, the full task of doing laundry would be gather the dirty laundry, clean it, dry it, fold and or hang it up and put it away. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the full loop. How many of us, hi, raising both hands, do a partial loop? A good solid 75%. Thank you very much, right? So this is where you start to think about areas that's actually the buffer. Drive time is a great example when you're actually going someplace, right? Mm. Okay, so drive time is one of those. That's obvious. So we think about it. Again, tangible stuff is easier to put in there. But even when you're working from home, you need to consider what your drive time is. Maybe we add bus time to your school thing, right? Busing. Mm-hmm. So that's your commute of some kind, right? Sometimes the commute itself for those of us working at home is the transition.
Mm-hmm. The whole ritual of how I got from here to there before looks different now, but
yep,
definitely.
So we'll call it a ritual and transition into the new project. I did a 2-minute transition meditation. It's free. I have it in my free library. I'll send you a copy if you'd like. Literally 2 minutes. It doesn't take much. It doesn't have to be a long commute, but you want to acknowledge the commute and you want to acknowledge the transition. So that's what we mean by buffer time. And buffer time sounds optional, but you think about what you need to do in that buffer time. Sometimes it's go to the bathroom or get a snack for the love of all that's holy. But also too, when you're thinking about tasks, I'll give you an example of something that I do, and I have it on my calendar this way. So this would be like the full course that you're talking about is when I work with a client, it's not only when I get online with the client and work with them. It is the half an hour before that I am prepping, making sure my technology works, getting my notes together. And mm-hmm. then usually half an hour, I would say after that I am processing notes because the clients that I work with, I will send action items to them. I will be sending you an email with notes that I've taken and action items for you to remember, you know, what we talked about and to be able to implement very clearly. So really the full client time for me is not the half an hour or the hour or whatever it happens to be. It's that plus prep time and closing time. And when I close it out and I mark my notes that say that I've updated the Google Doc or I've sent an email or however I'm updating them, then I'm finished with that client.
Mm-hmm. Going back to, again, like it doesn't have to be like exactly school, but like, it's so much easier to edit than like, you don't have to reinvent the wheel, right? So I'm like, school is a framework that I can adjust.
Exactly. Yes. And I'm loving this for you. Yeah.
And so like, that's, I think why a big part, why I like, again, it's like structure that I can figure out how to be flexible and like what's going to work for me. And then I can be flexible within it, but also like having reference points, again, because of so much that I do, I had realized a lot of my perspective and reference points are to like how we exist as kids, or how kids are like treated in a good way, or like the grace we give kids, or like the environments that we make for kids. And then we don't do any of those things. Mm-hmm. And what you're saying, I'm like, they're passing periods, like in middle school and high school, where you're like, class is over, but you might be like finishing writing your notes when after the bell rings, and then gathering your stuff, and you go to your locker and you change your notebooks or whatever. And then you go. And I'm like, that was my issue of my back to back to back meetings, where I'd be like, okay, cool. Well, I gotta go, because I have a meeting starting now.
Oh, look, they're already on Zoom with us. How about that?
I'll follow up with you later. So giving myself some of those, but again, like even like very specifically, intentionally, the buffer ritual times, whatever that is. I was like, oh my gosh, we did this. And then we forgot about those.
Yeah, no, this is so good. And actually, I've noticed in my kids' school, they don't have enough of that. So I am all about creating a good bit. And it doesn't have to be a lot, but to start with, give yourself 10, 15 minutes in between. Okay, so creating the courses, and which is kind of your batch processing, and then listing what you need to do underneath that. You'll be prioritizing those. We can jump back into that in a minute. We talked about the task loop, talked about the passing periods, you know, that kind of idea of having the buffer time, negotiating more. The other note I just made was how to make self-imposed work feel like it's not nothing. We talked about something that's going to help. When you create buffer, and you make the thing, whatever it is, that course, that project, whatever you're going to call it, when you make that bigger, it gives you the things that you need without feeling like it's nothing because it belongs to that thing.
Yes.
So in other words, you're taking up more space with it. It's like you need storage for a pool floaty. Or maybe like one of those tubes, like you're going tubing. I don't know why that just popped into my head, but let's run with it. So you've got the tube. When you first get it, it's all flattened, right? And you're like, oh, so this is how much space I need. But really, when it's usable, right? And it's when it's the proper product for you, it's going to have air in it. It's going to take up a lot more space. Mm-hmm. When I say inflating, and I don't mean that in a false way, but you need to know the proper space. Okay, another example, you get IKEA furniture and you're like, oh, look at that box. That's great. But when it's assembled, it takes up a different amount of space. You want to make sure that whatever project you're working on, whatever course that you're in, air quotes, that it's properly assembled so you know how much space it's taking up. That's going to help that buffer, like, so that you're not trying to fill it in with something else because there's, quote, nothing in there.
I don't know if I'm coming at it from looking at the same thing, but from a slightly different angle.
Good, maybe. Because we want it to come from you. So what are you envisioning?
I hear what you're saying, and I'm not sure if like how I'm interpreting it for myself in these like, I know, generalized terms, because we're not that specific here. But okay, maybe it's an elective. It's an elective class. So it's like ceramics, and that's an hour of class or whatever it is. And what you're doing during that time is ceramics, but maybe you're still making a coil pot, or maybe yours that's drying from last time. So you're glazing something else, but it's all ceramics. Mm-hmm. And then for me, for now, which I don't know if it's exactly the same thing, but it's how I'm interpreting it at least. And a little bit because of my not being the greatest at fully understanding my time capabilities of like, oh, I'll do that. I have like a half an hour, I can get this done. And then it takes like 45 minutes. And you're like, oh my gosh, now I'm behind. So that's like, I understand that, but in the sense of like course theme times, like theme days or course times within a day or whatever I'm doing, if it is like organization, but it's like a bigger time block, but because it's organization, it's not just my contract work time. It is organization, which could look like several different things. But like if I were just creating an organization of a spreadsheet for something and I was planning time for that, that's the flat pack item. where I'm like, oh, I can do that in this much time. But because I sort of, I mean, like what I interpret as like the inflate, make up, make bigger space, I'm not necessarily filling it with other things, but it's like that still that type of work thing that like in theory, then I have a lot of time to do the one thing that I probably wouldn't have given myself enough time for. But then if I finish it, I can find a different thing within that realm.
Yes. It's interesting because what I was trying to describe may not have been quite in that direction, but I love that you brought this up because it's probably even more important, which is that you want to make sure that your project, your task, whatever it is that you're doing somehow fits the period, fits the course time. And so one of the things that I wrote down for time allotment is double periods. Make sure you give yourself double periods, right? Okay.
Big capital letters.
Okay. In science, the kids have like, they not only learn the science, but they also have the labs, right? The double periods are really important. And I think right now, as you are practicing, that's probably one of the biggest to-dos. And it may be one of the most important takeaways for you today. The one is to practice the double periods and like that whole, the construction saying where you're like, if you're going to go do that, then make sure that you consider that it's going to take twice as long and be three times as much. I want you to just have that as a standard practice to say, whatever I think it's going to take, I'm going to double that.
Good mantra.
Right? And that one habit right now, and yeah, you can set up this whole structure. That's why I'm saying double periods, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever you're thinking that you're going to be working on, double that. And then the other part is making sure that you are looking at each project, each task, each piece of a project. You know, it depends on the scenario and what you're talking about, but that you look at it as the like fully assembled or, you know, the inflated. And those two things, I think, will take you so far.
Yes. I also now think that I re-understand the inflatable donut tube a little more too, in the sense of the full loop type of thing.
So with the time allotment, the double periods and things like that, okay, one of the things that you said about, okay, if I create more time and space to do the thing, let's say it's organizing something. And so it's better time allotment, right? And if you have time left over, what I think is brilliant is that you can use it for whatever you want. And just like in school, they're like, okay, if you got the classwork done, you can maybe quietly chat with your neighbor, or you can start something else, like, you know, start another bit of homework that you want to start. But you're also doing it knowing that it's just a little bit of time that you're going to be working on that. It's like a portion of something. Or you can just goof off.
Yeah. Because I'm a grown-up. I could do what I want.
Exactly. That's the best kind of buffer, because I don't think we give it to ourselves enough. We're constantly in the perspective of being productive, right? Which is well-intentioned. And to be doing things. You said yourself that it's hard to do, quote, nothing, again, with the air quotes, okay? And so you want to be doing the things, but you don't want to be trapped in the busy. And there's no doubt that you're getting stuff done. You're doing amazing things. I mean, based on what you described to me. But what you're looking for is a more intentional and structured way to do it that feels right for you. And I think that the school setup does feel right. I just wanted to make sure that we were labeling it and connecting the concepts in the right way and making sure, you know, like when you're, it's like you're talking, I'm your advisor. You're talking to your advisor. So here's what I'm thinking based on what you want to achieve. Here are your core requirements, right? So it's thinking about what you want to put in there. And yeah, I think the big ones are really making sure that you know what the class will entail. So that's like the double period time allotment, right? Mm-hmm. And asking for more space when you can. So you're talking to your advisor and you're like, well, can I defer, you know, this class until next semester, right? And giving yourself those passing periods. I think, you know what it all translates to, Lauren, is more space.
That's the thing that is the sort of the trouble now, which focusing on that thing will actually give me more of what I want or need, because I do, like, you know, like when I'm scheduling stuff, like I have space, but it's just like all over the place. Mm-hmm. And being able to see the space in a more organized, understandable way across everything rather than in the different lanes completely seems very exciting to me.
And the other two recommendations that I would make, one is to actually create a physical schedule or a physical master list, if you will, like your theme days, your school schedule.
Oh, absolutely.
And then you can have the lists within that, like what each of those courses represents or the kinds of work that you're going to be doing. And then the specific work that you're doing that needs to get done, you know, and then you figure out the deadlines and things within that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You start with the end in mind. That's project management 101, right? But not only that, you're starting with the end in mind and thinking in terms of your theme days. Now, yeah. Let's say this is a really amazing opportunity. You've jumped in. They need it done because it's like a summer thing. It's maybe a little tighter than you wanted to do it, but you want to do this project. Well, then you can borrow from another space, but at least you're not just borrowing willy-nilly.
From like any open gap that I have. Yeah, it's like,
exactly.
Okay, I know that I'm going to not do XYZ on Thursday because that, yes. And I think that it's more logical to me, mm-hmm. in the sense of like the organ is like, again, I have lists and charts. Like I'm playful also, but like within structure, and there's just hasn't been structure. So having structure to play with just feels already like, even just the idea of it feels so much better than just being like, okay, I have time tomorrow at 1:15 to 2:45 versus like, okay, well, I have time to focus on this particular thing next Tuesday. Does that work for you? No. Okay. Like what does work for you? Because then I can.
Exactly. Yeah. And when you say that so often, they're like, oh, I could work with that. Or, well, you know what? We can wait another week. If Wednesdays are really best for you, we could wait another week. And you're like, well, okay. Why did we not lead with that? Because they don't have your calendar in front of them. And they're not thinking that. People are looking to get things done. They're also coming from their own perspective of urgency that's not always accurate. It's well-intentioned, but everyone here is just, we're trying to get by, okay? Everyone is dealing with this. So if you have other people who are struggling with time management and they press the urgency upon you and you, in all your agreeableness, roll with it, everybody's like struggling. So I love it because you can actually model for the other people that you're working with. And a lot of times they may come back and be like, I'm so glad we set it to 4 weeks because I don't know how we were going to do it in three.
I've already experienced stuff like that, like not on our choice, but where something got pushed and you're like, oh man, I'm so glad that we did this week and like not like this, it shifted from last week. Can you imagine if we had to do that? We're like, so happy we had the extra time, but I could do that on purpose. What?
So one last thing I want to make sure that you kind of have in your sort of locked in for choices to make is that when you have these courses, if you will, they're going to represent sort of different touch points in your life of things you need to get done and want to get done, right? Want to do. And I think that that's so important. So across the board, if you have them represented, that's going to be so much easier for you to make sure that they're honored. And it's okay if 1 week, one of those things like, you know, writing with friends, if that's like just a small bit. So it could be a sliding scale, but it's represented. And I think that's for self-care, for creativity that we need that energizes us when we're talking about energy management, that's important.
Yeah, absolutely. Structure to exist, to account for things and be aware of and plan for and be intentional about, but we're grown-ups who can make choices and adjust.
You're creating the rules and then you can break them whenever you want because guess what? You're grown-up. But you have to have the rules first before you can break them.
Again, I'm like very energized by this idea of within the realm of, you know, I can make choices too, but like this idea of some structure to work around and within,
mm-hmm.
feels so much better than just the like, okay, my calendar has stuff on it. And I'm going to put some more stuff in the gaps.
And I think that this structure that is very themed and it's fun and vibrant and colorful, because I know you're going to color code this. Let's not pretend otherwise, right? So all of that, and then making the choice of what goes into that structure, being selective and creating space that's going to make such a difference in how you feel in terms of being able to keep doing the things that you want to do, meet the deadlines you need to meet, and feel, I think, a little lighter about everything that you're doing. I know that what you do, you love, right? And I know that you have fun, but sometimes even with that fun stuff, when there's too much chaos going on, it can feel heavier than it's supposed to.
I have to figure out what my schedule and courses and themes days look like. But what you were just talking about too, of it just made me think of this, and I'm not sure if it was actively related or if it just happened in my brain, but like having that focus time to focus on whatever the time block theme is also important. But then the thing that makes me think of kids, and I forgot again until just now, I think there's something to scheduling the time for certain things, whether it's something that you want, like bills are not that fun, but like, you know, you have to do that. But it's kind of like if you didn't like history, you're like, okay, this is going to be over in 40 minutes and then you could just be done. And the looking forward to where you're like, we get art class or music class once a week. And if you have a scheduled time, it's like a looking forward to, yes, the intention, but the looking forward to something being over if you don't like it, or to the next thing that you do like happening. And that's something that I kind of forgot about until just now.
I love that you brought that up because it is connected to this idea of things like the Pomodoro technique, where you're doing sprints, right? And you make promises to your brain and you're like, yes, I'm having task aversion. No, I don't want to do this. But yes, I'm adulting. Look at me. Can we all be impressed with the fact that I'm an adulting? Okay, so let's just do this. We're setting a timer. And when that timer's up, we are done. And it's very important. I've coached so many people who say, but then I get on a roll and I want to keep going. I'm like, please don't, because you are making a promise to yourself and you have to have self-trust as well. So your brain has to believe you when you say in 40 minutes, we're going to be done. So you need to keep that promise. And this kind of structure will do that.
Yeah. Maybe the energy will push you to the next time you come back to that thing.
Yeah, and you can always take notes and you can always write things down like next time I will take care of this. Or maybe, you know, you have a bonus period or suddenly there's a field trip. I don't, you know, you can have fun. Again, yeah. You can have fun with it. And you can be like, I'm excited about this. So I'm going to schedule something intentional. But that's the whole point. And I keep using the word intentional because it's one of my favorites. Okay. How do you feel?
Again, I was excited about this idea, but I think with the additional vocabulary and terms to think about how I'm putting it together, because I kind of had some ideas, but again, it was like self brainstorming. So having some thought processes and awareness terms and stuff like that to put shape to how I'm choosing to put my quote unquote schedule, my summer session together, I think will be really good. And I'm like, I'm excited, but I'm like reinvigorated to be like, okay, there's more of a plan for how to do it now than just like, here's some ideas I'm going to throw on a paper.
I love that. And I love it when a plan comes together, and you are so welcome. Okay. So thank you, Lauren, for sharing so fully today this great idea. It definitely applies to so many of us. I think we can all learn from this. So we look forward to an update.
Can't wait.
Thank you for joining me today. Your time is precious and limited, and I'm honored you chose to spend it with me. If you have feedback, questions, or want to schedule a chat, head to positivelyproductive.com/connect. And if you are looking for any of the resources referenced on the podcast, from books to products to training and more, go to positivelyproductive.com/resources.